well. Come on down, 10 p.m. Rock and roll, only night of the week. We have a $5 cover charge, always $5 for live rock and roll. We're open from 4 p.m. until 2 a.m. Monday through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 2 to 2. Come on down, have some drinks with us. We've got Whiskey Wednesday, Tequila Tuesday, and we've always got the Steve McQueen special, a shot of Bullet Bourbon and a can of California Lager for $8. Come down and enjoy our patio. It's open in the afternoon, not really in the evening, but a lot of good folks hanging out back there. Come on down, give us a shout. Drop by the bar, make some friends. Thanks, folks. Bender's Bar and Grill in the heart of the Mission District, San Francisco, California.
With a happy hour every Monday through Friday until 7 p.m. Don't miss it. Go to Bender's Bar. Big supporter of the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival 2018.
Oh, yeah, it goes down. Come smoke with your boy. Grinder.
Spark is San Francisco's premier cannabis dispensary with a focus on serving and educating patients for 7 years. Spark is dedicated to creating the best in-store experience with its extensive menu, friendly staff, and one of the few cannabis vape lounges in San Francisco. Spark welcomes you to visit its two great locations as a medical patient or for recreational adult use in 2018. Spark is located at 1256 Mission Street between 8th and 9th and at 473 Haight Street at Fillmore. Both locations are open until 10 p.m. every night. Spark staff looks forward to serving you. Coming at these bitches and all these snitches. It's time for the Sparcast. All right. Yes, usually the Sparcast is a live recording from Spark on Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 at their Mission location. And last night we had an incredible show at the Mission Spark from 8 to 9. We had Amy Farrah Weiss, mayoral candidate, talking about cannabis equity. That was amazing. We did some product highlights, the peach rings. I'll get to that in a second. We had comedians Peter Ballmer and Jeremy Adkins in the house, and we did story highlights, we did some political highlights, we had some questions for the mayoral candidate. We also had this great product highlight, the peach rings, which we're going to smoke some of today, because I got so high on the vaporizer that I deleted the entire podcast. Yes, save and delete are right next to each other, and I have sausage fingers, and touchscreen technology makes me want to kill myself. So, yay! We have returning guest Jeremy Adkins, but we have extra special guests. Today we have Lawrence Isbell and Warhol Kaufman. Sadly, we couldn't get Amy Farrah Weiss to come in and rehash her amazing speeches yesterday, but we'll go through her website and talk a little bit about what she's trying to do as a mayoral candidate for San Francisco. Everybody go out there on June 5th and vote. We have a unique time where we get to vote for a mayor, give them a year to try to do some shit, and then call them out on it, because we're going to re-vote in 2019. So we can see maybe we want this mayor to stay, maybe we don't, and we get to use a checklist and judge their ability to serve us. Yay. So Amy Farrah Weiss is a really great candidate. We'll talk about her a little later. But here we are on the Sparkcast. We have Jeremy Adkins, comedian. Hello.
Hello.
And we have comedian Lawrence Isbell. You can just take one of those. Sure. Just sit on down. And
how you doing again?
Yeah, right on. And we have Warhol Kaufman. He's outside smoking a blunt. Because blunts. But we're not, I don't favor blunt smoking inside because of the tobacco smoke sticks.
Yes.
You know, tobacco makes you, it's just, and it's the same thing when we're at Spark doing a live show. Everyone can vaporize, but we can't use pipes or.
That was one of those moments. I almost pulled it out, and then I looked around and I realized, no one here is igniting anything. I probably should.
It's all vape bags. Now, they've let us smoke out of a pipe at the front table in the past, the Sparkcast when Chris Ferdinandson was here. They let us buy an eighth, and then they're like, yeah, you're on stage. You can smoke it out of your pipe. So they said, but they never, don't ever do that if you're just being a patron. It's only special for the show. And I was like, oh, great. That's good. Also joining us, Warhol Kaufman. Here on the Sparkcast. So again, usually the Sparkcast is live at Spark every Tuesday from 8 to 9.
But we're actually all dead. We all died just now. It's a gas leak.
A gas leak? Did you fart?
The dead Sparkcast.
Oh, it is the dead Sparkcast. It just didn't happen because I am old and I don't like touchscreen technology. I'm just not going to be able to vaporize during the show anymore. I'm just going to have to.
Well, you need a techie.
Well, it's just, I know, it's just pressing a button, but it's really, I fucked it up by pressing the wrong button on a touchscreen thing. It's really a bummer. So I just have to be really, really, really conscious.
Yeah, you just, I mean, you know now. Now you know.
Now I know how easy
and
it is.
Knowing is half.
You know, as G.I. Joe says, knowing is half the battle.
Go, Joe.
More orders for myself.
You should paint the button red so you don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
That would make the rest of the apps a little difficult.
Can we mansplain what you already told us happened?
What do you mean? That I just pressed the wrong button?
See, what you did is you pressed the wrong button. You got too high.
I got too high.
You got too high and you pressed the wrong button. So that, as a man, I just want you to know, since you told me what happened, I'm going to tell you.
Right, you're going to let me know. Yeah, no, that's good. And we have water in the corner. If you guys don't want to donate, you don't have to donate. But if you do donate, that's really helpful because it's
so difficult.
I get paid
Friday.
That's exciting. From your wife?
Yes, so I'll be donating.
Wait, your wife pays you?
He's her personal assistant.
That's my sugar mama.
Okay, because
he actually does real work.
I don't know if that would have worked for my marriage.
What's the difference? Is that the same thing?
No, I mean, yes,
sugar
mama. I'm
an equal opportunity husband.
You're a sugar assistant.
So you can be in a person's assistant. That's fine. And they can be married to you and you can call them a dependent. And
as an assistant, she tells me all the things I need to hear. Like, I ain't shit. I don't do shit. And that's, you know what?
I get that too, actually.
It's fantastic.
Are you allowed to smoke weed at home?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can smoke weed.
Do you have a weekly or a monthly stipend specifically for marijuana purchases?
Yes, yes.
You really do. It's built into your budget.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
But I don't smoke like you guys. You guys have a whole new game here on the West Coast.
Yeah.
I'm very moderate with my smoking.
Right.
And I like it.
If I had to pay for my weed, I'd be moderate too. Like, I don't have to, so I just smoke whatever I want.
Sure.
Which I think is a problem, because someday I'm not going to get free weed, and then all of a sudden, I'm going to have to pay for it.
Well, but luckily, because of its recreationalness now, that you can buy it anywhere. And they have some really, really great deals at places. Now, the peach rings isn't like a super sale or anything. It's just really dank weed.
What's up with those peach rings?
So we're going to try it today as the product highlight. So it was $19 a gram. So it came out to $23.45, including tax.
Wow.
But... It's a gram, we're gonna see if it's worth it. I mean, because it was some expensive weed. I mean, it's some top shelf fucking nugs, and it should say flower. I should honor this peach rings more. It's a sativa. So it's a sativa. It's a very talkative weed, I've been told. That's what's one of the reasons they gave it to us. It has a high terpene because it has a lot of really good flavor, and it's like a 24% THC chilling around there, but so we'll give it a.
What was the woman's name who described it as?
So I'm not
cloud-like. Actually, she was just in the. There was a woman in the audience who said it's cloud-like. So that was like.
I agree with her.
Yeah,
that would be a definite good description of the high is that it's cloud-like, and
I feel like this is
you
like
definitely get talkative.
There's like a misunderstanding.
Peach rain.
You know, yeah, I thought I was going to eat a peach ring.
I got
no,
you.
No, no. It's not an edible, it sounds like a good edible.
So this is a peach ring. At the end of this pipe, the its carb is at the nose. There's a nose on the end of it, and that's the carb. So, and we last night we smoked it in a vaporizer, but right now we're smoking it in a pipe. And it's still smooth, but it's flavorful. And I don't know about the peachiness. It's rings with a Z, too. It's called peach rings, RANGZ. And it's pretty euphoric. I mean, it's good stuff.
I agree that it lost some flavor from the vaporizer. It had more flavor for sure.
Right, because And so, and he taught us how to use a vaporizer last night, because I actually didn't know. And they heat it all the way up to 360. And the terpenes are still there, and they're really flavorful. And I'm not sure when you burn things with a lighter how hot it actually gets. I don't know how hot a flame is.
I'll Google it at some point.
Yeah, we'll Google it at some point. But yeah, so this is the product highlight. And again, right now, it's including tax. It's like, you know, between $23 and $24 a gram. And I feel like it's good. I mean, this is, I've never heard of it before as a strain.
What do you fellas think?
It was smooth.
I think I don't have the best position. I hit it last.
Okay.
So I don't know if I got
the next bowl will let you pack it fresh flavor for you.
I'm a novice smoker.
I still get taste out of that.
I think it's a good deal. If I needed to, I would definitely buy some.
I love $10 grams, though. I tell you what, I love a $10 gram. I love a sale.
Is a great thing.
I love a sale. And so that's just me. But and they do, they have sales there sometimes, but I don't know. They don't do gimmicks like, say, there are other places that like you spin a wheel or you're in a, but they do have really cool
they used to have $40 quarters I would go to Spark for.
Badass. Well, right now, because I love my vape pen, they have their Marigold brand vape cartridges, and they're $35 every day. And sometimes they do deals for $20, which is crazy. Because there's like 200 hits in those things.
So how much is the pen up front?
200 hits? That's device. Like the Iceman.
Yeah.
You can get a battery. You can get the pen Michael up front for like really cheap on eBay.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can buy those anywhere.
All right.
I've been gifted both a pen, like a round, I call them roundies and squaries. So I was gifted both a PAX and a roundie.
200 hits, that's like Motown.
Yeah. But those are, I mean,
that's good.
Those Hitsville, devices, USA.
All the hits. I'll pack another hit of this.
200 one. Hits, that's like Babe Ruth. All right, I'm done. I'm good. That's three. I'm good.
He's a one-liner.
What are you gonna do?
This is a regular genius. Barry Gordy of comedy here, Warhol.
Oh my God! I wish I had young impressionable Negroes to manipulate
and exploit and basically take advantage of.
Not exploit.
Oh,
just
for sure. Oh, come on.
No, he did. I'm saying that's not my wish.
Oh, is he gonna be the next one?
I want to manipulate.
I mean, because
I want to pull more of like a consensual R. Kelly.
Okay.
Is Barry Gordy going to be the next one to come fall, you think? No.
He's done.
He's
dead, right.
It's only people who have like an active cachet that we're really concerned about.
Plus, like, I mean, Barry Gordy's secrets are already out. I mean,
that's
like,
the thing.
I,
that's like, why they say about why aren't there athletes and rappers and boxers that are going down or whatever. And it's like, well,
speaking of
people with influence. So last night at Spark we had Amy Farrah Weiss, who's running for mayor, who's trying to be an influence in San Francisco politics, and we are really voting on the 5th, and there's some crazy things happening in the city, and specifically surrounding
heavy, yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's nice.
Specifically surrounding cannabis equity. So you guys can go to her website at weissformayor.com, and this is what she says about cannabis equity. These are her stances. I want to see
the Weiss choice.
The Weiss choice. See if you guys sort of agree. I want to give her time because I feel like such a jerk that she really was so engaging last night as a speaker.
Oh snap!
And yeah, she was so engaging as a speaker and talking to people as her background.
Give us some highlights. What did you hear?
Well, I tried to have her focus specifically around cannabis equity. So here's some of the stuff she probably said because it's from her website. Number one, ensure continued deprioritization of cannabis use infractions by the San Francisco Police Department.
Or a return to.
Well, deprioritization, continue. Ensure continued deprioritization. They don't, San Francisco doesn't, police right now don't care about marijuana.
Except for the ones that arrested me and put me in jail for
it. Okay, except for the ones that do, because they were racially profiling, and that's a different issue.
Wow.
I mean, but she's saying if we continue to decriminalize it, it's going to get less and less of a stigma. We're going to be able to smoke wherever we want. They're going to start arresting people for smoking cigarettes.
You can't smoke where you want right now? You can't smoke anywhere you want right now?
There's after the legalization, the tenor has shifted. A few years ago, I did see a man get arrested for smoking a blunt by the Civic Center, but generally it was decriminalized, and after, there has been a different kind of a push because now it's legal, so now there's like more rules about it.
Yeah. So there's this new thing that's created by this by the city, which is the San Francisco Commission on Cannabis Usage.
And it's really like a just an offshoot of the like techie gentrification, like clean up the streets bullshit. You know, it's like directed for sure.
Well, there. I mean, so the task force. Well, there's four people right now in San Francisco that are in charge of all of the weed stuff. Whoever gets permits, who gets to open up, who's already applied for permits, who gets to do it recreationally, what kind of people get to apply for a recreational permit, what you do if you're making edibles, all of that stuff. If you're going to work in the weed industry, if you already have a grow room and you want to legalize it, you go through the San Francisco Commission on Cannabis, which just started like in January 1st, 2018. So it's brand new.
But very behind.
Well, and this is all the stuff that that Amy Farrah-Weiss is talking about. So she's saying support the development of an education component of the city's cannabis office. So that there can be like, there's only four of them right now. So to have an education department would be amazing because we have to have mindful consumption. What she said last night was, don't say no to drugs. Just say no, like K-N-O-W, like no drugs. Like, know what's in them. Know what this peach rings and what a sativa versus an indica is and how many edibles are too much and what is THC and when it goes through your liver and you edible, it's THCV. And how does that affect you and how long does it last? And should you be taking a tincture or an edible or like smoking it or vaporizing it? What are the different methods and what are the downfalls and how can they help you? And if you have cancer, do you stick suppository up your butt with the weed in it? Will it help? Who knows? Like, anyways.
Word.
So knowing what weed is and what it can do and how it can help people. And she talked about that last night, that there are a lot of people, we can move meth and opioid addiction and there can be cessation through the use of cannabis. They've been showing it. They've been trying to do tests, but right now they won't give people money to run the tests to be able to figure out, like, she was saying that if we house
but
all
we
the
need
homeless
that money
people
to make more nukes, so.
Well, okay, so I know that's why Amy Farrah-Weiss is like progressive in the ways that she's saying that we can do cannabis testing and cessation work on the questionably housed people that have meth and opioid addiction. So we first house them in these little projects she's trying to make, these small tiny homes, and then we use them in our experiments to see can we have secession from opiate and meth use with cannabis.
Item 9 exists.
Item 9.
I was hoping that we would got into that, and I wanted to know where she stood on, you know, clean injection sites.
Oh yes, she's safe injection sites. Yes, there.
You guys
so
don't have
London
those already.
Breed. Well, there's the first one in San Francisco just happened because of London Breed, and now she's super into safe injection sites, like because her sister, I guess,
I mean,
died
not, like,
of opioid.
Too into them, but, like,
well, no, like she came to the. She was interviewed here by Val on Women's Magazine, and it was so neat to meet London Breed. But she was very personal about, she loves Muni because she grew up here and she was on the Muni as a child. She loves housing and wants housing for people who live here because she grew up here and she wants people to be able to live here. And opioid addiction and cannabis usage, her sister died of an opioid addiction. So she's super into like helping people not die from fentanyl.
That was one of the articles in the Chronicle about housing and all the storefronts that are empty, that they're talking about rezoning into housing because there's just all this property that's sitting on by people that don't even live here.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have 7,500 questionably housed people in the city, and it's a huge issue.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And we're in the richest city. So, and here's the other thing. This is the crazy thing that Amy Farrah-Weiss brings up. The DPW spends $30 million a year cleaning up homeless encampments. $30 million going down 19th Street here in this neighborhood, cleaning up all their shit, throwing all their shit.
That's like a studio apartment in San Francisco.
But $30 million is with this small tiny homes program that Amy's been working on.
How often do they clean up the camps?
All year long, all year round.
Is a euphemism.
It's just throw their shit away. It's basically after they've amassed shit and like tents and stuff. If the police come through the DPW and they say, you have an hour. We're coming back in an hour and we're throwing everything away.
Even if your views are on homeless, you know, not kosher in the sense that like you're not into the homeless and you just want them to go away, you have to see financially that $30 million is $30 million that if you were housing them for less, that could go to other services.
That would be the would humane thing to do.
Some of that money comes but even from
if
sales
you just,
tax.
Even if you lose the humane side of it, you, just looking at financially, you save more money by housing them than you do by trying to just move
them
around the city.
Well, and some of it is their money. Like, people who don't have homes spend money in San Francisco. Oh, still goes to the city.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Well, and so this happened at, this was, Super Bowl was a tragedy. They had four, so, and Amy Farrah Weiss talked about this at that time, too, and she wasn't even running for mayor. She was just talking about the issues of homelessness. But they had $4 million they spent to clear the homeless out of downtown for 1 week. And what they did is they gave them voucher, they put them all on buses, and they sent them to Daly City with vouchers to stay in motels. And so they moved them for 1 week. They spent $4 million. And what she was saying at the time, Amy, Ms. Weitz, she was saying, we can build yurt. We can give them yurts. We can give them mobile homes, the yurts that they can set up. They have a door and a window. We have these mobile things that we can build for them that we could spend less than $4 million and we could house them. We have the land for it, the reappropriation of certain lands instead of it being an...
It'd be kind of cool, a yurt community.
Less than $4 million, that's like 1/25th of an Avengers film.
When you were talking about the yurt thing and it being mobile, I suddenly pictured traffic jams going down 16th Street with like...
Because they're moving their little tiny houses.
It's time to move across town. And I'm not trying to poo-poo the idea because it's a great idea, but I just... It's entertaining me to think. Can you imagine Market Street?
I'll show you.
They're all over Alaska.
Well, no, they're this though.
People live in Alaska.
Just now put them on wheels, and some homeless guy going across town.
I'll show you what it is. It's right here.
I thought they would have some land appropriated where they can stay on.
It's right here. Yeah, they have appropriated land. So right now this actually exists right now on 15th and Mission behind that building that's red. There is a little site, and right now there's two little cabanas on it.
There's one in downtown Oakland.
Look how cute this is. So it's called a safe, organized space, an SOS. So there's these little itty-bitty houses that have a door and a window and a little place to lock up your stuff. There's secure storage. There's toilets and hand washing station. There's a communal kitchen and meeting space. There's places for people to eat. There's garbage. And there's one that it's a pilot experience that she's doing. Look at that. So one of them, here's the first one. So two people live here right now on right behind 15th and Mission. And these are the first two. That it's the St. Francis Homelessness Challenge. Yeah, so two people live there. And they used to live in tents and stuff. And now they live in this little place. And so now they can... It's a transitional place between living... I mean, could you imagine like... being in a tent on the street and needing to live in San Francisco, and you maybe even work here, but you can't afford it. How do you live here? If you're gonna get a studio apartment for $2,000 a month, that's like, how dare we say, oh, sure, you can make... Who can make that happen? Who can possibly go from making, you know, not being able to afford a house to suddenly being able to afford $2,000 a month for living somewhere?
I used to live in a storage shed, and now I own a house.
Right?
So... It's hard. But like a lot of people don't get lucky like I did. And a lot of people end up just moving from place to place.
But the storage shed was good enough. And this is basically a storage shed.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Look, they're on little wheels.
No, it's very awesome. I think it's now funny that we've gone from the trailer being the ultimate like white trash put down. You live in a trailer. To it becoming a hipster thing where, like, I live in a tiny house, to now we're going to use it to solve, like, a homeless problem. Like,
I think it's a shame.
And it's driving
cargo,
up.
You know, and, the, still, and people still people would still get grief about living in a trailer.
The what world?
But they still, and they're driving up the trailer prices.
The cargo, like, you know, on a boat when you're moving hella shit.
Container
from
ship.
Or whatever.
Oh, the containers. Right. The boxes.
Cool,
yeah, absolutely.
In Atlanta, they were turning those containers into modern-day homes.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have studio apartments in Oakland right by MacArthur Bart that made out of them.
Super cool.
And there's a place in East Oakland that makes, like, weird little, hey, like, go put this on your land thing. Like, go by every once in a while, and they're building a new one.
That's great.
Yeah.
So back to cannabis equity, just to try to keep it on brand for Spark. Number two, as a mayor, she wants to eliminate local taxes for donations of medical cannabis to low-income patients. So if you're...
They're taxing donations of cannabis?
I guess so.
As a donation?
Eliminate local taxes for donations of medical cannabis to low-income patients. So basically she's saying, because she used to work at Apothecarium, and she's found the benefits of cannabis for hospice and for people that are like old and dying and maybe can't afford things, and they should have access to this miracle medicine. And if we should be able to provide access for them, you know, cannabis equity. Fund affordable access and or compassion programs for low-income patients through the subsidizing of medical cannabis cards and medical cannabis.
That's going to make some Republicans freak out. I mean, can you imagine that? You're like, hey, we want to get people high, and we want you to pay for it.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, they won't pay for stuff.
But it's like, compassion programs.
I mean, absolutely.
And as what she was saying last night, too, is we're in a really stressful world. And cannabis helps you, like, mentally be more healthy as well. Like, you know, being able to deal with this general anxiety, this high anxiety that's constantly thrust upon us. Like, we gotta chill the fuck out.
How's she looking in the mayoral race?
No, oh, so this is very interesting. So she's actually doing quite well. The okay. SF Weekly came out with their best of issue last week, and she was listed. She was the only mayoral candidate listed. She was listed as the best SF underground mayoral candidate, and so it was for Amy Weiss. Also, in the League of Pissed Off Voter Guide, she is, if you look at for mayor, their number one is Jane Kim, number two Mark Leno, and number three is Amy Farrah Weiss. So she's got a lot of underground swelling that, because she really is saying great things, but she's so socialist, you know, like.
Right, right.
I mean.
Like Michael Tubbs over in Stockton.
I don't know Michael Tubbs over in Stockton.
He's a 25-year-old mayor. He's raising money. He's paying people money to not be violent, and he's giving them a living wage.
Brilliant.
He was on Bill Maher.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
he was giving just a paying living... people to not fuck each other up.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah.
Bury your gang shit because you can all make money not fucking with each other.
And people are funding him. He's raising the money for these programs. This is not even coming out of tax dollars. That's so dope. Everybody's kind of watching it.
That was a
big move by him because I mean Stockton had declared bankruptcy. He really took a big move on that. I was really amazed. That
he's
was
25.
It was impressive.
25.
He's the mayor. Like,
yeah.
He's
amazing.
Yeah, and he. He took a big chance on that.
What's his name
like,
again?
If that
Michael
had failed,
Tubbs.
Michael Tubbs.
Because that's bringing in numbers. People are like legitimately having to go, oh, this is actually working.
Right.
Yeah, because, and if it's a safe place to live, people might want to move back there. It's pretty. They've got that whole waterfront thing going on. It's not a terrible place to actually
Delta.
Live. The Delta is lovely. The weather is really the
as
weather
much as
is
I
fine.
Like, oh my God, it's a horrible place. I've been there. It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be.
Hey, you know what? It's better than Michigan.
It is, though.
It's better than Michigan.
I would rather live in Detroit than Stockton.
I'm not going to shit on Michigan.
I mean, I hear you. The weather's better.
Weather's better. Yeah, even in Stockton. That's what I'm talking about, weather-wise.
I'd still rather live in Detroit than Stockton.
I mean, you know, it's there.
They're
paying renters.
I think about that every once in a while. Selling my house and then buying like a giant, just like a whole block, two blocks in Detroit.
They're doing that. They're foreclosing on those people's homes because of taxes. They can't pay. They keep up with the property taxes. They have them appraised.
So we just steal their house.
They're stealing their houses, basically. Yeah. There's people on the phone bidding on those homes that have been, I think they're called a shotgun style home or whatever it was called.
Where the front and the back are. It's like the same kind that are in Louisiana. Shotgun style.
So they're getting gentrified slowly.
It's crazy. Back to the cannabis stuff, cannabis equity. Support the development of micro business permits within nonprofit license classifications at the state and local level.
All right.
So that would be like for me trying to make my edibles. That would be trying to give me a business license for a small business.
It's kind of like what they already did for in-home kitchens recently.
Oh.
It's subsidized.
They changed the rules so that if you're cooking from in-home, you don't have to be held to the exact same standard as a commercial kitchen.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense. Okay, so when you used to be I used to run a catering business, and that was a problem, is I could never cook in my own home.
Yeah.
You have to rent out a kitchen.
Oh,
because
wow.
The ABC...
And the taco trucks probably have helped with that, too.
Yeah. Well, but they're different because the ABC can come into them and check them out.
Yeah.
No one can come into your private home and tell you about the cat hair. Do you know what I mean? Because it's a private home. So you can't be held... You're held to a different standard of... So for a while, you weren't able to cater out of your own home. You had to either completely cook in the other person's home, or you had to use a commercial kitchen because the ABC has to come in and say, this place is safe.
This is the seventh time I heard about the ABC. They seem to get around and do some code enforcement.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's not actually as easy as 123. It's like easy as $123,000.
Yeah, I'm sure the fines are extensive. I'm saying they seem to be well staffed, I guess, if they're getting those kind of fines. And
people fear the ABC.
Well, the thing, and they're going to change. Well, they actually, because of the legalization of marijuana, they're trying to change the ATF to be the ATMF. So, like, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Marijuana. So, like, they're having to try to. Because right now we're in willy-nilly land with the cannabis. Like, where, like, we know right now, okay, Spark, that they were a slam dunk. They were easy. They've already been doing medical cannabis for years.
But
they've been in the same spot.
Dealt with marijuana before?
No. Alcohol, tobacco,
the
firearms.
DEA was all over.
Right, DEA, because marijuana is still a Schedule I drug federally. So it's still under the auspices of it having no medical value whatsoever. It's in the same bucket as, like, cocaine.
Schedule II cocaine.
Oh, schedule, yeah, because it still has medicinal benefits because it's an analgesic. Yeah.
Right. Marcaine.
Right. And all the benzodiazepines are all, I think, schedule II. Like, you just need a prescription.
Yeah, most of these.
But so they say that marijuana benefits. Has no beneficial medical effects, which we all know at this point that that's totally blazing. It's just lies, just brazen lies.
Why are we doing this down here, man? We should be up there. The sun is out. Item 9.
Right. What's item 9? I'm sorry, I'm ignorant.
Oh, yeah. It's from Pineapple Express. It's the intro when they're doing the government test on marijuana.
Oh.
And it's like, bringing in item 9. What do you think of this? He's like, whoa, I feel great, man. Everything's cool. And they're all like, it's in black and white, and they're all like military, and they're like, he seems to be exhibiting symptoms. And he's like, dude, you guys know how to try this. Come on in. Why am I by myself, man? It's Bill Hader. It's great.
I've seen it. I just don't remember things as vividly as you.
I gotta watch that again.
Yeah. Pineapple Express was one of those where I was like, it's supposed to be funny, but then there was a lot of like gruesome gore and just like really like
some
suddenly
violence,
everyone's
yeah.
there's violence.
Well, he was trying, as far as I or they were trying to do, not exactly a new genre, but it's a kind of an ironic genre from watching like crappy 90s films where you watch action films from the 90s that are badly made and then you laugh at how bad they are. And so he's trying to do kind of a hybrid.
So it was like Cheech and Chong meets Bulletproof.
Kind of like take Schwarzenegger out of a Schwarzenegger film and put Seth Rogen in it.
Right.
That's kind of the concept.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That is so fucking deep. Now I need to go back and watch this again.
That's my understanding.
Is in Pineapple Express is the name of a, in the movie, it's the name of a strain. Is it a strain in real life?
It must be now. I've actually seen Snickle Fritz.
It is.
I've seen Snickle Fritz, I think, at dispensaries before.
And that was in the movie, and it was
so
just Snickle, made up.
Snickle Fritz is like the terrible weed that he sells to people he doesn't like. So there's this whole scene where it's like Seth Rogen comes over, he just wants to leave, and James Franco won't let him leave. He's like, stick around, I got this new stuff. Nobody has Pineapple Express. And then there's like, ding dong, he opens the door, there's some nerds at the door. And he's like, I brought my friend. He's like, and he's just really mean to him. He's like, I got the Snickle Fritz for you. Get out of here. You know, like,
right.
Do you want to smoke it with us? He's like, go away.
Right.
And then when they leave, he turns to Seth Rogen, he's just trying to leave, and he's like, lingerers, man. Lingerers. Some people just won't leave. Anyway,
that'd be a good name for a strain, lingerers.
Lingerers.
Yeah, I would be surprised if there isn't one already.
Lingerers.
Lingerie.
Well, and this stuff supposedly makes us feel cloud-like or fluffy.
So strains aren't birthed by the person who cultivates them, and then they come up with the name. The strains. The horticulturist that grooms these plants, do they name them?
Do you want to know the most racist strain name I've ever heard?
Yes, to both of you.
And then they have to smoke it to figure out
Obama's
what it is.
Obama's banana.
Obama's banana. But that's such a
How's
fun play of words.
I
Obama banana.
But I know people have grown, and they name it, or it's whatever, you know, Gorilla Glue.
Right.
They take it on down to the dispensary, and the dispensary's like, oh, well, who he got too much of that? We are going to call it this today.
I don't think they do that. I think they're pretty up
they
and
used
up.
To,
I like
they
Obama,
used to do that.
And I like bananas.
I don't know, but yeah, I know that they've I know of a couple
between
that have
the
done
vines,
that for
buddy.
Sure.
I know, I'm teasing.
Obama's banana.
I like Obama, and I love bananas. I mean,
Are they saying he's high yellow?
Is that the racist joke? Black monkey banana thing.
I was thinking like that he's a light.
Donkey Kong, dude.
That's great. That's very funny.
I thought it just meant that, you know, he is so awesome that everybody would enjoy sucking on his banana.
Well, eat his banana.
That's where
I mean,
your mind is. Then that's says
racist.
A lot about you.
That has a lot to think about. That I'm just saying that I agree with you, Jeremy, because he's a good-looking man, and I would eat his banana. It doesn't matter. This isn't a racist joke. This
Do
is a sexy thing.
You know how
thing.
Long it took me to teach that orangutan to suck my without peeling it first?
Dave Chappelle.
Monkey
dick.
back to cannabis equity.
Monkey pussy.
Support the development of an education component of the city's cannabis office. Okay, we already said that one. Support the development of a San Francisco-based cannabis testing facility.
This is not like a nonpartisan platform.
Well, this is just what Amy Farrah Weiss thinks about cannabis equity. But she kind of said all this last night in her big speech.
Are we endorsing her?
I mean, I am.
Okay.
I also like London Breed. I just think that we're in a unique time right now where we get to... There are a lot of people that want to help the city, and we get to choose one of them. I mean, Mark Leno
is
super cool.
To register, like,
soon,
right now?
It might be. It might even be.
Yesterday.
It could have been yesterday, but like Mark Leno, openly gay. Jane Kim, clearly Asian. Like
clearly
London,
Asian.
London Breed, local black lady. We have like,
and she has a superhero name.
London
Breed. Say that.
Amy Farrah Weiss, socialist, awesome. She wouldn't say she was a socialist. Those are my words.
She's
I'm just
very
saying.
Social though.
She is very social, and she's just a very cool and genuine human being.
I would put her, if we were making one, I would put her on a social list. I've been listening to Scott Aukerman. I apologize. I'm sorry.
We gotta stop victimizing the word socialism.
Stop Aukerman.
That's true too.
Yeah. People, it's not a dirty word.
It isn't, but it's still really hard to get elected when you have that attached, even in California. Like, it's getting better, but it's still not really something that's going to get you very far.
Speaking of that, can I just point out that the movie Predator, the film Predator, has two governors in it, and what does that say about government?
That we need checks and balances?
That we should probably give Carl Weathers a position in the cabinet or something.
It's overdue. Yeah.
Elect Carl Weathers 2020. Weathers Sanders 2020.
That would get my vote.
He's going to clean up the swamp with an Uzi.
Well, gun control. We're definitely on board there. But anyways, so mayorally, we have some cool choices. And I personally dig what Amy Farrah Weiss is saying, because she has compassion, and there are people that we have the questionably housed problem. I live in the Tenderloin. I've lived there. It affects me every day. I see the same people literally sleeping on the street. One of them we call Fuck My Life. We call him Fuck My Life, and I know where he sleeps because there's this vent that gives out a lot of warm air, so he sleeps around the corner like from my building in there, and he has crutches now. And I've seen this. I've lived in this neighborhood for 9 years now. I've seen this guy deteriorate. I don't think I've seen him. No, I have seen him poop. Like, right across the street from my house, in the street. Now, this is the dangerous part, is that he goes in the street because I think he's trying to be good about, like, not having it on the sidewalk or near the... Because I'm across from this old church, Islamic building. And so he kind of hangs off the edge and does it in, but he has to look for when the buses are coming, because it's seriously in the bus lane. He could just get
if
hit.
If you got hit by like, a bus while you were pooping. Taking a shit, that is just, I think you'd want to die. I think that would be the end. Like, you just go, that might be the end of my ability to go on.
But so we call him Fuck My Life because he screams in the middle of the night. He looks at himself in the, when men's show is closed and it's just windows and it looks like a mirror. And he stands out there and he goes, Fuck my life! Fuck my life! And like yells it and other
that
things.
That is a very apparent reason why he got his name.
As like at like 3 a.m. So now every time we see him on the bus or we see him around Jonathan, we'll be like, oh, there's Fuck My Life. And so, but my point is that I also know the lady that goes, I don't know if she's saying marijuana or water. Water, marijuana. I don't know.
My favorite.
Marijuana.
My favorite was this guy was going up market. And he was just like quietly saying, and I told her, try it on. It won't kill you. But if you don't, I'm going to fucking kill you. And I told her just over and over. And people would walk up to him as he's on the soft part, and then he would scream, and you'd see people just going like,
Whoa, very scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a mental health issue in this city, and I personally, if I was going to be mayor, it's something that I'd want to immediately address. And I'm glad that most, well, it is a huge issue for all of us, and whether we have a heart or not, or we care or not, or we're working at Twitter, and we're walking by people, even though we make over $250,000 a year for doing nothing, and we just heartlessly walk by people.
You know, if you ignore a problem, it definitely goes away.
Yeah, well, that's the thing,
especially
though.
Especially if you hire enough police.
Right, so we can either... And there's different methods of dealing with it. And I just like the way
to
that...
see the blood in the streets.
We're at a really interesting and scary time. And I just... It would be nice if people... If we could get... If there could be... Oh, I'm going to be mayor for this 1 year. And one thing I'm going to get done is... Get 3,000 people housed. Get actual... Make an actual, like, real change.
So Eric Cash has a theory slash a bit. And... essentially, he suggests that our alternate timeline that we've jumped into, where Trump is ruling the known world, was started by the resetting of the time clock.
Oh my God.
At CERN, when they tried to do the Big Bang, which recently...
No, you mean the Y2K?
Well, no, it's CERN, under the particle accelerator underneath. Because I don't know if you know this, I have a bit about how there's a weasel that chewed on some cables that when they were about to attempt to recreate the Big Bang, which Stephen Hawking, before he died, suggested could reset the clock of the universe. He implicitly suggested that. A weasel prevented it, chewed on a cable.
Thank God for weasels.
Right. Or what happened was we split in another timeline and now Trump is president. Which I agree with Eric Cash on that, actually.
You're blowing my mind here.
Didn't the weasel interrupt it? I thought it had already started, and then the weasel interrupted it.
So here we go.
That was the theory, that the weasel had interrupted this thing, so it kind of went, and it split off. I didn't read a lot about it, because it was low on the reading list.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I thought it had, like, done... It was more than just it didn't happen.
Shut down the whole machine.
What a sacrifice. Poor weasel.
So I think it was that it interrupted the process, and so therefore there was some kind of fracture, and now we have Trump as a president.
So my bit, the way I talked about it before, was basically I listed off successful robberies or semi-successful robberies and just like how they happened, and then there's apparently a tree branch that shut down the Bay Area Rapid Transit for a weekend. It just fell. And so it's like, if you identify infrastructure, be inspired, follow your dreams, we can bring it down, you know. Be that weasel.
Wow.
Be that tree.
Yeah.
Well, so now that's an interesting way to bring about revolution. My bit with the politics and stuff is that we live in San Francisco, and we do all have all these unsolvable problems. We have 7,500 questionably housed people. We have poo in the street. We have exorbitant rent prices. And there's only one real solvable problem here in San Francisco, and that's that there's only one motherfucking In-N-Out. Like, can we get a one? There's one In-N-Out in San Francisco. What is
can
wrong with
us? Can we get an
us?
In and then across town we'll get an out?
I say, as mayor, I would make 5 In-N-Outs within a year. I would take all of those old McDonald's that went out of business, and they would immediately
become
In-N-Outs.
We'll take homeless people. We'll give them,
give them jobs at
the In-N-Out.
At In-N-Out. See, you're on board. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Warhol gets it. He fucking gets it.
On top of this,
you could have
a
parking lot for their yurts, too.
Yeah, we could have. Absolutely. They can live and work in the same place, which is right next to the jail. So when people come out of jail, they can be that one that's right there on Bryant. Oh my God. It would be so great. The 27 bus goes right there. You could just get off the 27 bus, walk in, have an In-N-Out burger. I mean, it would
change the world. I've had coffee at that McDonald's.
It's gone right now. It's dead.
But I've had coffee at that McDonald's right after getting out of that jail.
Yeah, I think that when you get out of jail and it's an In-N-Out, you should get a free burger.
In keeping with your plan,
you're going to be okay, buddy. An In-N-Out burger makes everything better. You're in a fight with someone, you're angry, you eat an In-N-Out burger, you are happy. Let's deal with the happiness of San Franciscans, all right?
So I want to do an open mic at City Hall where we go, and when there's an open forum to speak to our representatives, we give all the comics, whatever they get, 5 minutes. I want to do this. I have a few comics around. But
I'll do my In-N-Out bit. I am fucking real about this In-N-Out stuff. Yeah, it doesn't even have a drive-thru. One In-N-Out is at Zevoth for the tourists, and there's no drive-thru. You have to wait in line like a German plebeian. Like, you have to stand there in line. You have to.
Like, it's the 1920s inflation. Right, like bread and toilet paper.
Exactly.
Did we get to go up and talk before the committee?
That's what I'm saying.
That's the plan.
That's dope. I could be an outsider's perspective.
Type five.
I could be an outsider's perspective.
I mean, it would have to be concise. It would have to. I mean, you
got to be on topic. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, you get to read from a piece of paper.
Yeah, you do whatever you want. But you're a stand-up comedian. You should look at people in the eyes and use that opportunity on stage. Duh.
Right.
I'm going to. Well, I'm going to jury duty again. Every 2 years, they call me for jury duty, and I have no problem. It's the week of June 18th, and I'm going to go the whole week. And I hope I get called in because it's an opportunity to be on stage. Last time I got called in the box, and I'm up there, and there's 12 people in the box. I'm one of them, and then there's 80 people waiting to maybe be on the jury or not. And they say, "Hey, juror number, you're going to say your name and your profession. I'm Benjamin, stand-up comedian." People already start laughing. So when I did, like when they asked me questions and stuff, and they said, "Does anyone feel a specific way?" I'm like, "I have feelings," and so I used it like stage time. I had the best time at jury duty. I just had to wait in the morning. I got in there. They called me up. And
did you ever get your notes from the stenographer? That'd be great to see that.
Oh, it was when they were choosing. They were choosing the jury. It was jury selection.
Middle of the trial. Stand up. Hold on. Excuse me. Can we have the stenographer read that back? I think that's my material. Yeah. I think.
Your Honor, give it up. Give it up for the jurors.
Well, so.
Give it up for the lawyers.
The best thing is when you're outspoken, they never choose you.
Yeah.
Like, they let go of
you. Oh, I don't even
right
bother showing
away.
Up. I don't
well,
even
no,
bother
see,
showing
but,
up.
But what I'm saying is.
It's your civic duty as a comedian.
And I like to follow rules, and I don't like getting in trouble, so I'm going to show up. But then I use it as stage time. So. It really is usable stage time. And I pass out flyers. I was putting flyers all over everywhere. I had flyers in the bathroom. I had flyers on tables. I was putting flyers on chairs. I was fucking flyering.
I think flyering chairs, like on public transit, is a good idea.
So,
yeah, absolutely. I do public transit all the time.
You know, when you have to explain to people why you're on probation and it's for littering while on jury duty, that's gonna be a good story.
Yeah,
she's gonna end up on podcast arrest.
Did you miss that I'm white? They're never gonna charge me for littering in a courthouse.
I always thought she was Asian.
You thought I was Asian?
I always thought you were Asian.
Oh, that's funny. It's because I have weird little Danish eyes. They look tiny and slit-like. And I'm smiling all the time.
Yeah, I don't. They're not picking me. I pretend I don't get the notices.
I think you're missing the point.
That's what I think. I don't mind. I don't mind going, is what I'm saying. I find it to be an opportunity to not only do my civic duty and make me feel pretentious and like I'm better than everyone else, but also that I use it purely selfishly in a marketing standpoint. I would actually, if I got chosen for a jury, I would have no problem with that because I would be making all those people would be fans. I'd be like, has everybody liked
Mutiny
Radio
you to
on Facebook?
It somehow. I think that'd be great if there was like recording.
I think that's illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, I think that explaining to people why you're in jail because you were recording
what are you in for? Pammy.
Yeah.
I don't know. The NSA has
it's
everything.
It's contempt of court. So, you guys, this is a Sparkcast. I just want to remind people how great Spark is. Let me just finish up with the last two things about cannabis equity, and then we can go off the rails. So this is still Amy Farrah Weiss. I got to give her due time because I really feel terrible that I got too high on the product.
I think we're doing it good because it's all throughout. It's in and out. You can't escape it.
So you can't escape the peach rings.
I had a quick question because the peach rings is good and I was high last night.
Yeah.
I thought you asked her about like what, you know, what's going to happen now that weed's legal with all the people that are in jail because of weed.
Right.
And did she give a...
Yeah, so what's going on is that... So, number one, people's sentences are being commuted, and that's different. But a lot of people have already gotten out. Now, the problem is when you have to get your records...
But commuting can take a long time.
It can take a long time.
Everyone knows that.
And then,
on the bridge.
Once you're out, you have to go through the paperwork to expunge your record. So, if you want... What we were talking about, basically, is they're trying to give more access to people having licensing to open their own shops and to be able to sell marijuana recreationally. And so if you've had offenses, you can still get licensing if you, A, go through the paperwork to get your offenses expunged.
Right.
And then But so it's, but they're not going to do it for you. They're not going to chase you down and be like, hey, right. do you want to expunge your record? You've got
to
be like,
have to do the work.
I'm going through the hoops to expunge my record.
But at least there's the access. Because, right. I mean, they right. could easily have just gone, no.
Yeah, yeah. But no, they did, though. Okay. So that's great. So you can expunge your record, but go online and say, expunging my record for marijuana offenses, yeah. and you have to jump through a lot of hoops.
One of the criticisms of legalization of weed is expunge that, like, Bob. It was suddenly like all these white companies, you know, were like, oh, we can get on, you know, this weed thing. Let's make a bunch of money.
Right, well, now the other reason, though, is that when we voted on when we voted on the legalization for California, there was a precept in there in the fine print that said that big business isn't allowed in for 5 years. So basically, local people who've already had precedents right, and set like, up get to have what they had and continue.
If you're a big corporation, you can wait 5 years to get your feet in the pool.
Then that's basically what they're going to do.
And so if it, you know, I mean, and so it would just make it even worse if it's just a total, like, all these corporations come in, make all this money, and the people who were making money before, because it was the only industry they could get into,
right.
are now still punished. That's
sure, and
really...
And that's why we should keep cocaine illegal, because cocaine dealers are small businesses.
I don't lie. I'm not into cocaine. Here we go. These are the last two. Support...
A curious silence falls over
there. Support the development. We try to keep it on brand at the Sparcast and try to stick to cannabis-based stuff, but support the development of a San Francisco-based cannabis testing facility that creates economic opportunities, streamlines testing requirements for local cultivators and distributors, and provides a funding source for education and compassion programming. Badass. Big testing, make a lot of jobs.
Oh, dude.
Big testing facility.
Hire me.
Yeah, hire me. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And the last one, and these are all Amy Farrah Weiss's ideas as a mayoral candidate, just specifically around cannabis equity. And I challenge you to find another candidate who has as much and thinks about as cannabis as much as Amy Farrah Weiss.
Can we open some marijuana cafes like Toronto, Amsterdam style?
We should be able to. But you have to go to the city's cannabis office and you have to apply for your licensing. So that's available right now and it's online. And then you fill out the forms, you apply for your licensing.
Are there any yet? Like, has anyone gone?
Not yet. Right now, so what happened was everybody put their licensing in to be recreational. So, like, Spark just got theirs, like, 4 weeks ago, right? And a lot of people, so they're letting them out in waves because there's only four people dealing.
Who are these four people?
They're the four people that are, we can look it up.
Regulation.
They're the
commission.
They're called... I'll look it up for you. The cannabis.
Notorious Big's Anderson, the commission.
Dude, I want to make a movie based on that Biggie lyric where he's like, letter to the DA, note to the plaintiff. Your girl's tied up in a Brooklyn basement. I want that to be a feature film where you're the DA is the protagonist and he gets the note and then he spends the next like 30 minutes trying to figure out if it's true. Uh-huh. But the trial's moving on and then he like finds out it's true and he's like, little by little, he's like trying
That's
to check it down.
That's an interesting premise.
It's so good. I want to pitch it to Puff Daddy.
Yeah.
Yo, Diddy, if you listen to Mutiny, get at me, son. Don't like screw me on this deal. Don't Suge Knight me on this deal. Johnny Depp is gonna solve Biggie's murder in a movie.
Are you serious?
Hint: it was Suge or my business partner.
What?
Puppy, don't screw me on this deal.
Office. Okay, it's called the Office of Cannabis. I finally found it. It took me a while to find it. This is the
That's
SF.
A dope name for a
this is OFC. The SF. This is San Francisco Office of Cannabis. Cannabis permits.
Hit him up.
On January 1st, 2018, California legalized cannabis use by adults 21 and older. San Francisco is moving to regulate both existing and new cannabis businesses.
Is there contact info for the
So,
office
yeah,
of
it's all here. It's at officeofcannabis.sfgov.org. And so
hit him up.
Basically, there's if you are seeking a storefront retail permit, review the final regulations for the 600-foot rule to better understand what happens if your application is not complete when you submit it. For example, Mutiny Radio can never sell cannabis goods because we are less than 600 feet away from the Boys and Girls Club is right there.
Got it.
There's a school right up there on the corner. This place as a storefront cannot ever sell cannabis. It's never going to happen.
What if we get two drones and we fly them up 600 feet in the air, do the exchange?
So you can apply. So basically, who can apply? You can apply for a cannabis
River
business
Boat
permit
Rule.
In River the city Boat of San Francisco. Rule. So what happened in the city is that all of the dispensaries already existed, and when they found out about this new permitting, they put all their stuff in last year, and everybody was hoping January 1st, bing, but they didn't. There's only four people dealing with this, and so it rolled out more slowly. Is that
They need interns, dude.
Right, and I'm sure that they have them, but really there's four people that they, like, employ in this, which is crazy.
Find
so,
names.
It's here, About. We can look at About. Director. So you've got Nicole Elliott, Director. Eugene
Elliott.
Hilsman, Deputy Director. Ray Law, Associate.
Regina Hilsman.
Director.
Ray
That's Law. It. There's three of them.
Three of them.
Well, but there were four.
They already lost one.
They probably have a secretary, so there's probably four. But so everything from the city is all going through this one new department.
The office.
And so it's been taking a little while for everybody's licensing to go. So if you want to try to have your own cannabis industry, you have to go to the San Francisco Office of Cannabis and apply. And it could take as long as till next year, like, because they've just got to get through all the applications.
I feel like we got to hit these fools up. Office of Cannabis.
Yeah.
I'm interested
in this. What are the rap names for marijuana?
That sounds like Nas and AZ's group back in the day.
Ooh.
The Office of Cannabis. I want to light this.
Okay. There's one more. Support the development of new cannabis consumption permits for events and establishments at the state and local level with an emphasis on safe and mindful consumption. Great. Yeah.
There we go.
So I'm down. I liked her.
I disagree with her on a couple of things, but I liked her.
Yeah, you're very passionate about Lyft, but that's because it's personal to you. But a lot of things in the city are personal.
I don't live in the city. I live in East Oakland.
Oh.
And like, I routinely get people who in where I live, the cabs don't pick them up. They won't show up. They just don't show up.
That's
Uber
true,
and Lyft
too.
Are the only ways they can get to work. You know?
No, that, I mean,
what
because
she trying
it's
to
dangerous
do about,
neighborhoods.
What's her opinion on?
But like, I never got her to actually say what she wanted, what regulations. You had a great idea with the
$30. Yeah, my idea for Lyft and Uber to change the city is that if you're choosing to work in this city and you don't live here, then you pay a $30 a day like permit, like to be able to work in the city.
Oh, okay.
Because the problem is we already have people with cars that live in the street. We already have. And when everyone from far away comes in, not only is it making it more difficult for San Franciscans who live here to make a living at that job, but also people from out of town have no idea how to drive in San Francisco. They're double parking willy-nilly. They're being illegal. Buses are behind them. They're letting people out. People are walking out into the street on the traffic side instead of going out on the passenger side. The safety be damned. The people are driving up to the corners. People are turning. It's like, So it's like the training. It's the cabs used to be trained, and now just anybody willy-nilly. And if you don't live in the city, how are you going to drive in a city? It's difficult. So
I feel bad now. Sometimes I let my wife out on the traffic side.
It's dangerous.
I know. We look. Now tomorrow, if I drop her off, I'm going to let her off the passenger side.
The other dangerous thing about this city is that everybody's driving these scooters around, these motorized scooters. They're in the street. They're on the sidewalk. No one's wearing helmets. No one's wearing helmets. The scooters, like the stupid little push scooters, but now they have motors. And they're up on the sidewalks. They're going in and out of people. They're hitting people. There's no helmets. Everybody's on. I've seen two people on the scooters. I've seen two people together with no helmets.
The scooters are far more dangerous than the Uber or the Lyft as far as that.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's...
Well, because they're on the sidewalk. They're in the road. They don't know what they're doing. They're in and out. There's also Uber drive. There's all this stuff happening. And I'm like, just take the bus.
I saw a dude picking them up. They have like guys going around picking them up.
Right. And moving them back to whatever place.
I really want to take those scooters, man. And I don't even know. Like, technically, there can be anywhere, right? So we could just take them all and put them wherever we want.
Yeah, you could collect them all and take them to a remote field.
Yeah, I think that'd be really fun.
People would have to go out to a remote field if they actually wanted to ride them.
Just give them to homeless people, hack them.
Oh, or you know what you could do?
That'd be great. Hack them and give them to homeless people.
You could get a whole lot of them in like a big truck and then drive really slowly around.
Sell them black market
to China. Follow you around trying to get to the scooter so they could rent it. You could troll for douchebags.
I guess I could just put flyers on them. That'd be fine, too.
I've been putting flyers on the Ford bikes. Ford bikes!
That's what's up.
Awesome.
I like that.
The Ford bikes are really cool. They made it all the way out to East Oakland.
But here's the thing about Ford bikes. Again, it's
Ford
the same
bikes?
Problem I have. No helmets. It says we recommend they use a helmet, but they don't give you any helmet. They give you no access to a helmet, and you're like, here, have a bike. And you're like, oh, I'm going to ride a bike. Or here, have a scooter. I'm going to ride a scooter. No helmets.
The real question is, can you afford bikes?
You know what? And I don't like people that much, but you know what? The problem I don't want to see, I don't want to see someone's brains on the fucking street when I'm walking by. I'm sorry. I think that's gross. And it's going to happen. There's going to be some horrible accident. Someone's going to get hit by something.
Come and see the blood in the streets.
Well, that's come and see the blood in the streets.
They hit the bikers all the time.
They haven't started hitting the scooters yet.
You know, but what I'm saying is, like, the scooters didn't wear a helmet.
Yeah, but a bike messenger is even more active, and it's the problem is these people are dumb and they don't know how to operate these vehicles, and they're in a strange city.
You should let them go.
I just
gotta wait. Yeah, but someone else is gonna go to jail because of some dumb techie who got hit
and who isn't wearing a helmet. Okay,
I was just hoping they just fall off.
Back on task, because we're gonna close it up. This has been the Sparkcast.
Oh, hey.
It's 5 o'clock. We're good. We did our
to
stuff.
To recap, Peach Rings. That Weiss lady.
Amy Farrah-Weiss.
Nice. Hit up the office of cannabis.
And go to Spark and just hang out there.
Jeremy has no shows coming up, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's all.